and welcome to Drinking the Kool-Aid. This is a comedy podcast dedicated to the mysterious. My name is Cassidy.
My name's Amanda.
And Sydney will not relax to save her life.
Yeah, our producer doesn't want this episode to happen.
Our producer slash dog.
Oh, she laid down.
She laid down. Okay.
Okay.
We just never say her name again.
Don't talk about her.
We just pretend she doesn't exist and she'll get back to work.
Okay, maybe. Good. Perfect.
Ooh. It's finally nice and chilly outside today.
It is.
I'm wearing a sweater.
You're wearing a sweater. You look great.
Thank you.
I'm wearing an oversized jean jacket.
What's new?
What's new,
pussycat? I think you were also wearing it yesterday,
right? I was. Yeah. Don't air me out like that.
Oh, sorry. I've never seen that jacket before in my life.
Thank you.
It's brand new. Yeah, you go through jacket phases. Like, you're really heavy on that purple corduroy one for a minute.
Oh, I still love that jacket.
No, I know. I'm sure you do. But, like, you do this thing where when you find a jacket, you wear it every single time you leave the house.
You know what?
Am I right?
Yeah,
it's
but...
It's like me with t-shirts. Like, when I find a t-shirt I really like, I wear it all the time. And then I, like, go through phases. And it's not that I don't like my other t-shirts. It's just that one also is always right there because I'm always wearing it. You know what
well,
I mean?
I'm very, like, jacket forward. Like, I love a jacket.
Yeah.
I prefer to wear a jacket at all times.
Yeah.
So fall is really, like, when I get to really come into my own. I get to wear all my jackets.
Well, you wear your jackets during summer, too.
I do. And
you just get to wear all your jackets and not be sweaty.
Yeah. No, it's great. I'm so excited.
I was going to say, because I have witnessed you. It's, like, 98 degrees and you have a big jacket on.
I love jackets.
Yeah, you're jacket gal.
I'm jacket gal. I love sweaters. Like, that's just what I like. Yeah,
it's okay. That's me with, like, boots, probably. I wear boots in the summer. Like,
you
combat
do.
Boots.
You do. With shorts.
With shorts, yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
You look cute.
Fashion.
Yeah.
Raw, raw fashion, baby.
Make something, that something go crazy.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah. That's Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga.
A little Gaga. Yeah, there's something going on with the moon.
Yeah, what is it?
Everyone's in a bad... Someone who knows the moon, can you let me... Actually, I do. It's because we just had a full moon in Aries.
Oh.
Which is like... That's what Kate told me, because, you know, Kate knows the moon.
Right. She's very friendly with the moon.
She's intimate with the moon regularly.
Yes.
And I was like, what is going on? I'm literally losing my mind. I'm out of control. I'm having a breakdown. Kate was like, yeah, I'm in such a bad mood. I feel evil. So I was like, well, what the fuck's going on? She was like, moon in Aries. And Aries is a mean sign.
Oh.
And I was like, that makes sense because my moon sign is Aries.
Oh.
That's why I'm so spicy.
You have been.
Yeah.
Well, you haven't really been spicy. You've been more like...
No, that's why I'm spicy like as a person.
Oh.
In general.
Got it. Because I was going to say this past week, particularly, you've been like... Blah, blah, just kind of like wacky.
I feel like I just haven't talked to anyone or done anything. And that's actually very true. I didn't leave my house for like 3 days.
I feel like we've talked. You've just been a little...
I don't remember any of it.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
What have I done that's cuckoo?
Just say, like, texting late hours of the day saying, or late hours of the evening, morning, early morning hours, 2 o'clock in the morning.
I haven't been on my phone in the middle of the night, except for one night.
Saying that you cleaned the kitchen at 2 a.m. the other night.
Yeah, that was when I was actually feeling better.
Oh.
So, I was going to say, when I was feeling bad, I barely looked at my phone. Everyone was mad at me because I wasn't texting them back. And I was like, leave me alone. I'm trying to not... walk into the ocean right now.
I knew you were feeling that way, so I didn't even think about it that we weren't talking.
No, I know. That's because you are a good friend.
Oh, thanks.
But lots of people were battle texting me like crazy town and being like, why aren't you answering? What are you doing? Are you doing this or doing that? And I'm like, I'm quite literally having a mental breakdown. And every text sends me 1 inch closer.
Yeah. No, I know. I think that's why maybe I stayed away.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah. I stayed away until you came to me.
Yeah. It's clearly the moon. It's lunacy.
Yes. I actually... this girl I went to high school with is like really big into astrology. Like that's literally what she does for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And she posted a story.
How is that your job?
I don't know. She like does like, talks with people via Zoom about their birth chart and
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And she's like starting an astrology podcast, like all this stuff. which I love. I love learning about it. So I follow
her. Oh, yeah,
her.
Absolutely. I just, my brain was like, I don't understand how that could be a job. But once you said it, I was like, yeah. Oh, that makes sense. Because people do, they pay for like their full birth charts and
which
stuff.
Which I kind of want to do.
Yeah.
But she posted something like 2 days ago, and I was going to tell you about it and I forgot. But it was like the moon was in Taurus, or something was in Taurus. And you're a Taurus, so I was thinking maybe that's why you were feeling some type of way.
I know the full moon was in Aries, and I have an Aries moon.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a couple days ago. It was a couple days ago. It said something was in Taurus, and that's why, like, people were feeling some type of way. And I was like, oh, well, Cassie's a Taurus, so this makes sense.
Makes sense. It's all coming together. Yeah. Now, I feel like every time, I mean, there's always some planet to blame other than Earth.
Absolutely.
Even though Earth is usually the root cause.
I mean, Earth also is... dramatic.
I want to know her birth chart.
Yeah.
See what I mean? Feisty. Moon in Aries. Bad energy. Bad vibes.
My moon is on Aries and I'm being feisty.
No. Because the full moon.
Oh. So anyone can be feisty.
Yeah.
Got it.
I feel like everything that I say to you just goes right over there, baby.
Over where?
Oh. You said you had a crazy dream to tell me about.
Oh, yes. So you and I have been talking about how, like, nobody's been sleeping lately, obviously, because the moon, I'm assuming.
Every single person I know is like, I can't sleep. They're up at 3 a.m. I saw you were texting in the group chat at 4 a.m.
Yes.
I woke up at 3:30 this morning and then just was laying there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last night I, like, was dead asleep and I started having this dream. It probably has to do with the fact that I was watching Ghost Adventures before I went to bed.
Oh, good choice.
That was probably a mistake on my part.
You know what? Some mistakes are worth it. What's that Jesse McCartney song? Beautiful Mistake?
Beautiful Soul?
Oh.
What?
Is there not a song by him called Beautiful Mistake?
I don't know. You and your beautiful soul.
Maybe I'm thinking of that song, Beautiful Nightmare.
What's
beautiful
that song?
Beautiful Nightmare. Yeah. Who is that?
Lady Gaga?
Is it Gaga? Or is it Rihanna?
Oh, it might be Rihanna.
Might be. I don't know. She hasn't made music in so long. I forget what she sounds like.
You know what? I have no idea. Okay. Under my umbrella. That's all I know.
Okay, sorry, continue.
So I started having this dream, or nightmare, I guess, where I was like, I don't know if I was I must have been FaceTiming with you, actually, in the dream. Mm-hmm. And all I remember is, like, I'm on the phone talking to somebody, and then I thought I was talking normal, but you kept saying over and over again, what's wrong with your eyes? What are you doing?
Oh, no.
And I thought I was being normal, so I was like, what are you talking about? Like, nothing's going on. And you're like, no, Amanda, can you hear me? And I was talking, like, I was like, Cassidy, what's wrong? Like, I can see you, I can hear you.
Yeah.
And you were like, Amanda, are you okay? Like, over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I just let out this, like, I was being possessed, and then I woke up in a panic.
You keep having dreams where you're either currently possessed or getting possessed.
I know.
That is not the first Amanda getting possessed dream
it's
you've
not.
Had. And I have nightmares basically exclusively.
That's all you have.
And I've never had a dream where I'm the one who gets possessed.
What does that say?
I don't know. And then your car wouldn't work today.
Oh, my gosh.
And your phone randomly fell and turned off.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying. Maybe there's something to this.
Now I'm scared because I literally
be.
Had that nightmare last night. Mm. Then my technology wasn't working today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and last time it was my technology when I was having all the weird shit in my house.
Oh, no.
So it's your turn, baby.
I don't want to be possessed.
Your number's up.
Don't take me. Take her.
Hey.
Please.
No, I just had a dream that we got kidnapped by an eco-terrorist group.
Oh.
Who was going to kill us if their demands weren't met by the U.S. government.
Okay.
And then they ended up being really kind of nice.
Oh, they didn't kill us.
And then, well, they wanted to kill us. And then I felt like I was really getting somewhere with them. Like, I was reverse Stockholming them.
Okay.
Like, I was like, well, I mean, I understand what you're trying to do. You're, like, trying to save the world, right? And so, like, my life seems pretty inconsequential to that. But obviously, selfishly, I care a lot if I die.
Mm-hmm.
But then is that, am I a bad person? I was like telling him, I was like, am I a bad person? Because like, I don't want the world to be a better place and then I don't get to enjoy it.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, yeah, that's a good point. And I was like, I'm all for whatever you got going on. And then some motherfucker ruined it and came in trying to save me because he had seen us getting kidnapped. And I was really making some headway here. And then this guy comes in, he gets shot.
No.
And then it riles everybody up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're not having a nice conversation about the morality of killing me anymore.
But did you get shot?
I woke up.
Okay.
Before that.
Well, that's good because the last dream you had, you had to watch all your friends and family get murdered in front of you.
Oh, they got eaten by a bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So at least you woke up before any of us died.
Yeah, that's actually very true. That's a good point. Yeah, it was just some random stranger who got shot.
Yeah, I say that's fairly good dream.
You know what?
Comparatively.
Comparatively to a lot of my other dreams?
Yeah.
That you're making a good point, actually. Yeah, I woke up at 3:30 and was just like, all right, well, here I am, I guess.
Did you go back to sleep?
I laid there with my eyes closed until 7.
Oh.
And then I listened to an audiobook, hoping that would make me fall back asleep, and it didn't.
Okay.
And then I got out of bed at, like, whatever. I texted you at, like, 9:30 or whatever.
Have you been manifesting at all in the morning?
No, maybe I gotta start doing that again.
Yeah, I think maybe.
Jump back on that train.
Yeah, I feel like that was good for you.
Yeah. Audiobooks just make me sleepy usually.
Mm.
Like if I'm laying in bed listening to one, I'll usually fall asleep no matter what, even if I'm not tired. So like that's my go-to. So I'll pop a little audiobook in.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But no, maybe it's just because this book's too good.
Oh, it keeps you interested.
Yeah, it's a pretty good book actually.
Well, that's good. What's the name?
It's called A Winter Haunting.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about this guy who goes like, he's going through a divorce and his mistress who he left his wife for left him. And so he goes back to his hometown to stay in his childhood best friend's, like, ranch, basically, in mm-hmm. Illinois. And it's fun because I didn't pick it because of this, but it's actually set, like, pretty close to where my family's from in Illinois.
Oh.
So I know a lot of, like, he talks about Peoria a lot. And
oh,
a lot
it's, like,
of
real places.
Yeah. I'm sure this town isn't real, but he basically based it in a small town that is like the town that I'm from.
Cool.
Where it's like really small and there's a lot of like ranches on the outskirts of town, some dirt roads instead of paved roads, stuff like that. And a lot of corn farms. And but it's fun because like when he'll reference something, I'm like, oh, I know where that is.
Yeah.
Illinois.
I'm trying to get Audible to sponsor us. So keep up the good work.
I'm like, all I do is listen to audiobooks.
I literally sent them an email today.
It's hard because now it's so hard for me to read a book, which I also love to do.
Yeah.
But it's just, I feel so lazy when I read a book now because I can't do other things while I do it.
Yeah, you can like clean your whole apartment while you listen to a book.
That's why I love audiobooks. I can like go on my really long walks. I can clean my apartment. I can like be folding laundry. I can be doing stuff.
Yeah.
And so it feels like, okay, I'm getting two things done. Like I'm enjoying this book, but it's not just like me sitting on the couch like being lazy where
yeah.
when I read, that's how I feel. I feel lazy.
I keep on meaning to start an audiobook and then I forget and I'm like, oh, what podcast can I listen to? And then I end up listening to some stupid podcast that I don't
that
actually
don't even like.
Want to listen to just because I have nothing else to listen to.
Well, you need to listen to The Grand Hotel.
I know. I keep forgetting.
It's so good. The Grand Hotel, anybody out there who likes to listen to audiobooks, it makes you feel like you're somewhere between the Tower of Terror and Haunted Mansion.
Ooh.
Like, that's the feeling it gets. Like, it's spooky, but it's kind of like a fun way. It's definitely still, like, adults. Like,
yeah.
there's adult themes and stuff like that. And it's scary, but it's not, like, it wouldn't, like, keep you up at night or anything
yeah.
like that. It's a really fun read.
No, I really feel like that actually sounds like it would be up my alley.
I like, immediately texted you about
yeah.
it because I was like, oh, you'd love this.
And I even downloaded it.
Yeah,
and
you
I just keep forgetting to listen to it. I know.
And the best part about listening to an audiobook, especially if you drive a lot or you're like for me, it's just going on walks. You don't have for 10 hours. They're 10 to 15 hours long sometimes. For 10 hours worth of activities, you don't have to worry about picking something new to listen to.
Right.
So it's not like a podcast where you're like, oh, I don't like this episode or, oh, I need a new podcast. It's like, there you go. You got it.
Yeah.
And then when you're done, you're like, ah, that was so good.
Audible.
Audible, man.
Sponsor us.
Call me. Yeah, it's a good book. Oh, speaking of sponsors,
sponsors.
Mm-hmm. Let's shout out our favorite type of sponsor, our Patreons.
Yeah, patrons.
Patrons, sorry. You think I'd figure it out.
It's been so long. It's been so many years.
It's been so many years. Years and years and years. Welcome to our new patron, the Rowdy Raccoon.
Rowdy Raccoon. This is my favorite Patreon account now because not only is their name Rowdy Raccoon, but the profile picture is just
a raccoon.
A raccoon who looks rowdy.
He does look rowdy.
Yeah.
He, she, they. I'm not sure the gender of this raccoon.
Yeah. So welcome, Rowdy Raccoon. So happy to have you. I didn't know raccoons could listen to podcasts, but
well,
happy you're here.
They maybe have little tiny AirPods for their little tiny ears.
They do have little tiny fingers.
Yeah. They got thumbs.
They do.
They could work a phone.
So true.
I feel like I actually saw a video once of a raccoon like unlocking a phone, like an iPhone.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, welcome.
Have you ever seen a baby unlock an iPhone? It's creepy as hell.
Like with their finger?
Yeah. Like they'll like, they know, they like can't even talk yet, but they can like swipe and they can type in the password.
Yeah, that's weird.
And I'm like, oh no, we've made a huge mistake.
Babies are taking over the world.
Well, it's just like, oh, that kid's fucked up for life.
Yeah.
I just immediately assume if your baby can unlock an iPhone, it's too scary. Like that kid's going to have so many issues.
Yeah. That's true.
Think of all the issues, like brain issues, the instant gratification of cell phones is giving like a grown adults and teenagers. Now imagine that like on a baby.
Yeah, no. I've talked to my husband, like my husband's like, you know, our kid's not getting a phone until they're like 17, right? I'm like, I would love that. I just don't see how that's possible at this day in this day and age.
They'd be a social outcast.
Yeah.
I know.
That would be amazing if that was possible. But
well, and it sucks because well, back when cell phones came out and we could have cell phones, you didn't have to have a smartphone.
No, like, you obviously had a flip phone.
Some kids had smartphones, and so they could Google and do all the scary social media stuff on their phones. But like most of us had flip phones until we were like late into our high school years.
Yeah, I had a flip phone. Like the reason I even got a flip phone was just because I had like after school clubs, and my mom just wanted me to call her when I was done so she could pick me up.
Oh, yeah, me too. I had like cross country and stuff.
Yeah.
So call after practice or call, hey, I'm going to go over to Jenna's house after school to work on a project, whatever. It was like helpful. And
right. That was literally eighth, ninth, all you needed it for.
But yeah, because I didn't get my first smartphone until either my senior year of high school or my first year of college. I can't remember. But it was an Android and it didn't do very well. Like,
I can't remember when the first smartphone even came out, but I want to say
2007. iPhone came out in 2007.
Okay, so then I was almost a senior in high school then.
Yeah. Because I probably got my first cell phone. I actually was just thinking about this because I just watched the new Stephen King movie on Netflix, Mr. Harrigan's Phone, I think that's what it's called.
Is it good?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it's kind of like a spooky... It was PG-13.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Goosebumps.
It was very much had Goosebumps vibes, yeah. But so I was like watching it and I was like, oh, 2007. And like the whole movie kind of surrounds like, oh, the first smartphones coming out. And I was like, oh, shit, that was really in 2007? Like, that's crazy. And then I remembered like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like, I had my first flip phone probably in 2007. And then I got my first smartphone in, like, 2011.
Mm.
So, like, this all lines up.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, I remember, like, only the super rich kids had iPhones when I was in high school.
Yeah, I literally can't. I don't think I got an iPhone in high school.
Yeah. I got an Android my senior year, like, the second half of my senior year. But that's because they were way cheaper and they didn't have any like apps or anything like that yet. And I don't even think you could really Google stuff that well on it.
I remember having a BlackBerry.
Ah, I never got a BlackBerry.
I think I had one my senior year. I think that was like my last.
I always wanted a BlackBerry.
I did love my BlackBerry.
Yeah, I feel like only bad bitches had BlackBerries.
Well, you know.
Right? I feel like that's like the thing. And they would have those little charms on them.
Yeah, and then it had the little stylus thing.
Yeah, like I had a little charm on my flip phone just because I wanted to be a BlackBerry girly so bad, but I wasn't ever rich or cool enough.
Well, now you have a charm right here that you could put on your phone.
I don't know how to connect it.
I don't either.
I love my charm from XOXO Ghoul Babe.
I know.
Check out Ghoul Babe's Instagram and Etsy account. We've posted their stuff before.
Yeah, so cute.
But I don't know how to put it on my phone.
I saw a 12-year-old with a charm on their phone the other day, and I was like, that looks cool. I want it.
Give it to me. I actually would love to have a flip phone again. T9 texting.
No.
Oh, my God. I was so fast. I could literally text, like, down here without even looking down.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I could, pretend like I was looking at my teacher or whatever. But you can't do that on an iPhone, really, because you can't feel the buttons.
No.
I can text without looking down, though, on my iPhone.
Me too.
But not with one hand like I could with my flip phone. But yeah, that's probably bad. Like, sometimes people will be talking to me and I'll literally be texting, like, hey, I'll be there in 15 minutes. I just ran into, like, I'm looking them dead in the eye. And I'm like, this must be so freaky.
Yeah.
And rude, and a little rude, probably.
Oh, I do it all the time and I know it's rude.
Yeah. But yeah, I would love to get to a point in my life where I don't need any apps.
You literally do social media for a living.
I know. That's why I'm saying I would love to get to a point where I didn't have to do that. That was the whole point.
Oh. I just thought you meant in general in life.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I don't want to have to work on my phone.
That's true.
If I didn't work with social media, I would not. I don't really ever post on Instagram.
Yeah, that's true.
Twitter I use just because I get bored. But I would think if I'm in a place in my life good enough where I can have a flip phone, I probably have some money. So I can probably do other fun stuff or just watch TV.
I feel like you're like a Twitter gal.
Yeah, but I feel like I could be like, oh, I could just use it whenever I'm on my computer. I don't need it on my phone.
Mm.
I think because it's like an obsession. It becomes a compulsion. Is. Like, I know, like, it's something that I've tried to curb for sure, because I used to do, and I know you do this too, where, like, you get a notification on your phone. Let's say it's a text. Even if you don't answer that text, because you're already on your phone, you'll open Instagram,
yep,
then Twitter, then whatever. Like, and it's like, all because you got a text. It had nothing to do with those other apps. You just do it, right?
I almost feel like it's an OCD thing where it's like, if I open my phone, I have to look at every single app.
It's not OCD. It's addiction. It's addiction.
Yeah,
you're addicted to it. But everybody is.
And I don't even do anything on them. I just look at them and I close them.
Yeah. No, exactly. It's like it's literally an addiction. Like, your brain's like, oh, I didn't get the serotonin I thought I would get from this notification, so let me see if there's serotonin on any of these other things that'll make me feel good.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's why it's scary to see babies unlocking iPhones and shit. Because I'm like, that fucked up our brains so much that we got ourselves addicted. Like, I feel like it's only going to be worse if you start when you're zero.
Zero.
You know?
Pop out of the womb, open up an iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually turned off all of my notifications for, like, most of my apps, and it did make, like, I'm on my phone. It cut my phone time. Like, you know how that thing, whatever, like, tells you your report?
Yeah, like, your report every Sunday.
It cut mine by, like, half.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, that works. The only problem is, once again, because I work on Instagram a lot, I can't turn the notifications off for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only one that still gets me. But yeah, like, I don't have notifications turned on for any of my other apps. And I usually have my phone on Do Not Disturb, where only, like, four people can text me.
I actually have never had my notifications for my Instagram turned on.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I like to be surprised when I get on there.
Oh. You're like, oh my God, look how popular I am.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, I have 8 DMs.
But this is also why you're always like, I wish I could see what this DM says, but I don't want to open it. And I'm like, that's because you don't have your notifications turned
on. That's so true.
That's how you, like, lurk on them.
You're absolutely correct. This is a good point.
And for you, like, you never want to open your DM. I always just open them. You never want to open your DM, so.
I get what I like to call DM anxiety.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get a little nervous opening a DM. I don't know what it's going to say. What if it's bad?
Then you just delete it.
That's true.
Do you know how often
I just block
people? My block list is insane.
I don't really think I have anyone blocked.
Oh, I block people one wrong word on my social media.
Wow.
You're gone.
Wow. But that's also probably because people are always just asking you for feet pics or something.
No, oh, no, not even that. Like people I know in real life, I will block them if I don't want them following me anymore.
Wow.
If they comment something that I think is rude on, because, you know, you can see other people that you follow, like, let's say something shows up on your explore page and you're like, ooh, this looks good. And they commented something rude on, like, some random post. I'll be like, ew, blocked.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Extensive.
I don't want to get blocked ever.
Well, you haven't yet. That's pretty good.
Well, good.
10 years. That's a pretty good run.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow. I better keep this up.
I mute people even more often. I mute people literally constantly. I probably have like 80% of the people that I follow muted.
Well, I better not be muted.
Like I said, like I don't use these apps like the way they're intended.
Yeah. I'll scroll through people's stories when I'm bored.
Yeah, I don't really do that.
That's the only way you're going to continue to like them.
Well, yeah, because if they're posting dumb shit all of the time, like super cringe dumb shit, and I'm like, this is embarrassing, I'm like going to be embarrassed to be your friend, it's better if I just don't see it. Like, you're not like this in person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just give it a little mute. It's very convenient. You should try it out. And they have no idea. You muted them. Once I discovered that explore page, that's really, I just look at reels of food. That's literally all I look at.
My whole explore page is
nails.
So you were very shocked to find that out yesterday.
Because it all looked like the same hand, but it was not the same hand. It was all different accounts. They just had the same angle photo of hands.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Just different nails.
Seeing someone's explore page is insane.
Better than having like weird creepy shit on your explore page.
That's true. Mine is probably like 98% food, like food videos or photos, and then like 2% vintage or like spooky stuff.
Mine is like 90% nails.
Nails.
10% bachelor people.
All right. Well, I'll go first. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Sounds about right.
I like it.
I like it too.
So unless you ever are like, oh, I need to go first or I really, really want to go first, I don't mind always going first.
No, great. Sounds good.
Well, I'm doing, you already know what my story is today. I'm doing the requested story of Black Eyed Kids.
Yes!
You have written down who requested it.
Rachel.
Rachel. So thank you, Rachel. This is a topic that I love very much. As someone who was on Reddit No Sleep way too much in my teen years, I have read many fake Black Eyed Kids stories. So now we're going to get into the real stuff.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. So my sources today were a PBS special about Black Eyed Children, actually. The Business Standard. Historicmysteries.com, an article by Prince Petropia. The Abilene Reporter News, an article by Brian Bethel. And, of course, Wikipedia.
Perfect.
So Black Eyed Kids, or BEK, as people call them, are also known as Black Eyed Children, or BEC. It's actually weird when people say the full name. They usually say Black Eyed Children, but when they abbreviate, they usually say BEK for Black Eyed Kids. Don't know why. I prefer Black Eyed Kids, personally.
I just love that people go around being like, oh, the BEKs.
Yeah, oh, that's literally how people refer to them online. It'll be like, well, my first encounter with a BEK was da-da-da-da-da. Like, it's so weird. So there are lots of stories about how these sightings, you know, how long they've been going on. But the first actual story that surfaces about them and calling them by the name of Black Eyed Children or BEKs was from a journalist in Texas named Brian Bethel. And I will tell his story, but first let's get into the basics of, like, what is a Black Eyed Kid?
Okay.
What is it? So typically, it is a pale child between the ages of 6 and 12. Usually they come in pairs, sometimes in threes, very rarely alone. They avoid making eye contact with you and are often wearing clothing that helps obscure their face, like a hat or a hoodie. I read a lot of descriptions that described them wearing, like, clothes from the wrong era. Like, let's say this happens in the 90s, they'd be wearing clothes from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But none of the stories I read really said that, so I think that might just be something people say.
Yeah, just to make it creepier.
Yeah, but I haven't really seen that. A lot of the stories that I've read, they've been wearing, like, either a baseball cap or, a hoodie and have the hood up. They come to your house. They are known as Black Eyed Kids because they have pitch black eyes, obviously. They also have been known to approach people in their cars.
Ugh.
Yeah. Especially if they're parked somewhere kind of isolated. They knock slowly and steadily and often target people who are alone in remote areas. There's this implication that they cannot enter your private space without being invited. So we've got some, like, vampire vibes going on there. And they've been sighted all over the United States and in the UK and different countries. So on to the first ever verified or whatever, not verified, I guess, but like legitimate report of a black-eyed kid. So Brian Bethel was a well-known journalist in Abilene, Texas. He had this experience and was so freaked out that like a year after, he actually ends up writing out the story of it and sending it out to like an email list of friends. Because once again, this is the 90s, so they didn't, you know, didn't have social media or whatever. That's kind of how they communicated. He would send it out, and then they kind of started forwarding it to other people and forwarding it to other people, and then it got posted on like random sites as the 90s went on. And
it's like a chain mail.
Yeah, and that's how it kind of blew up. And he was not expecting that. He thought it would go to like the six people he sent it to. So he claims that basically it got leaked online by a member of his group or by around 1998. And the story went all over the brand new internet. It led to TV and print and other media news attention as well. But it all started on a summer or late spring night in 1996 when Brian was driving over to this like strip mall area near where his local internet office for Camelot Communications was. So he had Camelot Communications as his internet service, and he had to pay his bill for the month. So he was planning on dropping a check in like an overnight drop-off box because mm-hmm. it was already like 9:30 at night. After he got off work.
So that's nice.
Yeah, right?
To be able to have that.
I actually used to have that at my old apartment. They had like a little drop box. So if the first of the month came on like a holiday or something, you could just like put it in there if there's no one in the office.
Yeah.
It didn't fuck you up. It was really nice actually. So he pulls into this like mostly empty strip mall parking lot next door to Camelot Communications. There's actually like a movie theater, and apparently now in this same area there's like a Chase Bank and a bunch of other stuff. So I'm sure you can picture kind of this like small town strip mall, mostly empty parking lot, one marquee movie theater, and next door is where he's going to go drop this check. So there's not a lot of people around, basically. Nothing seems strange. He didn't have any weird feelings or anything like that. Until something startled him. Two young boys were knocking on his driver's side window. So he had been like hunched over writing the check that he was about to tear off and go put in. So he hadn't been like looking up around him, and he's just in his parked car. So, you know, he's not really like paying attention to what's going on. So when they knock on the window, they knock three times, do, do, do. And it startles him. And he's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And then he looks up and he's like, oh, I'm an idiot. It's just two little kids. So he's like, okay, he sees two young boys who were knocking on his window. They were both around 12 years old and wearing hoodies, or as he called them, pullovers with like hoods attached to them. They didn't look alike though, so they didn't look like brothers. One boy had a slightly darker complexion. He actually described it as almost like an olive complexion while still being pale, and he had dark curly hair. And the other boy was much more pale and had red hair and freckles.
Oh.
So as soon as he sees the shapes, he starts to feel afraid, which is something he notes in, like, his original essay is very strange because it's two little boys.
Like, yeah, it's like, not... why would you feel scared?
Yeah, it's like, he's like, these are two, like, preteen boys. Like, they're little, and I'm in a parking lot by a movie theater. It's not that strange. He's like, but he immediately felt like really intense fear to the point where he like, the first thing he did is his hand went over to like lock the door. As soon as he saw them, he was like, and like locked his door.
That's what I would do.
And this is where I'm not exactly sure because I saw some reports. He did not write this directly in his like little essay he did, but I did see some reports that later on in interviews, he said he did roll down his window a little bit to be like, hey, what do you need? But I'm not sure, so that could go either way. But if you read that, it might have happened. But he feels so genuinely horrified, he's just kind of like looking at these two boys. There's the one in the front, the spokesman, as Brian called him, which is the curly-haired boy, begins speaking. And the way he speaks is very, very different than he was expecting. He's extremely confident, well-rehearsed sounding. He's kind of demanding and not the way you'd expect like a young boy to speak to an adult, especially based on what he's about to say. So, you know, Brian's like assuming they're just going to like maybe ask for some money for a bus ride home or something like that. But what they actually say is that they had money, but they had left it at home and needed a ride back to their mom's house so they could grab the money and go to a showing of a movie. So Brian's like, okay, it's like pretty late. He's looking up in the marquee. He's like, what movie are you guys going to go see? And they're like, oh, Mortal Kombat. And he looks up and on the marquee, literally right there, it says that the Mortal Kombat final viewing already started. Mm. So just like red flag, bad vibes. And he looks at his car clock and kind of looks at the kids and he's like, I don't think I'd be able to do that. Like, even if your mom lived across the street, you probably wouldn't be able to go there and back in time to make the movie. You'd miss a significant portion of it at the least, right? And the kid goes on and says, listen, it won't take long. We're just two little kids. It's not like we have a gun or something.
Suspicious.
Okay. First of all, probably the quickest way for me to think you have a gun is to casually bring up, it's not like I have a gun.
Right.
When I didn't ask.
Yeah.
I would probably be like, I really didn't think you had a gun until right now when you said that, you weirdo.
I would drive off so fast.
So he's like trying to be polite, but he's also like, well, crap, I need to drop off this check.
Yeah,
like, pay my bills so my internet doesn't get turned off. But he doesn't want to get out of the car and like leave himself defenseless just in case there is something weird going on, because obviously that gun statement put his hair even more on edge.
Right.
And this is when he looks these kids, he finally like gets them right in, you know, looks them right in the eyes, because they're in a dark parking lot, and he realizes that their eyes are completely black. Like, no whites, no color, nothing. It's like it's all pupil. And he said it was blacker than a starless sky at night.
Ugh. I know. The pictures of black-eyed kids freak me out so bad.
Yeah. So this makes him panic, of course. And he just kind of starts, like, babbling an apology. Like, oh, sorry, I'm really busy. I can't. I gotta go home, actually, right now. Whatever. But he doesn't get out of the car. And this is where I assume he begins rolling up the window and starts backing out, like putting his car in gear to back out. And when he does this, this makes the spokesperson kid pissed off, and he bangs on the window and yells, we can't come in unless you say it's okay. Let us in.
No.
And he fucking books it, backs his car out, and then goes to turn out of the parking lot. And then he looks back to see if the kids are following him or like trying to jump on his truck or whatever, and they're just gone. No sign of them. It's like an empty parking lot in a strip mall. Like, there's nowhere they could have hidden that quickly. Yeah. Or something like that, right? Brian, years later, in 2015, actually, when there was going to be a TV special about black-eyed kids, so he ends up writing another article about it, he says, quote, what did I see? Your guess is literally as good as anyone's. I've had everything from vampires to demons to ghosts to aliens to a somewhat detailed hallucination posited as possibilities.
I mean, that's a good point.
Well, so he's not even trying to say like, oh, this is what I saw and this is what it is and this is what I experienced. He literally is like, this is just what happened to me. Interpret it as you will.
Yeah, like it could have been anything.
Could have been anything. And of course, you know, people all the time like to say, oh, well, the kids could have had the contacts in to scare you or whatever, but the contacts that actually can turn your entire eye black, like the white too, are like $500 and something, and they're extremely painful and uncomfortable to wear. And so everyone's kind of like, these are children.
Yeah.
How would they first of all afford that as a prank, and second of all, like, adults have a hard time putting in contacts.
Oh, I can't do it to save my life.
Yeah, so why would like these two 11, 12 year old boys be like, yeah, I can put in some of the most difficult, like the stuff that they use in movies for, like, you know, these are professionals who wear them. It's not just like normal people walk around with these in.
Yeah.
So after this story goes the 90s equivalent to viral, tons of people start coming forward claiming that they had also seen very similar things but never had like a way to put a word to it or a name for it. There were stories from all over, but very specifically the Pacific Northwest and Texas seem to carry the heft of the stories.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Many of the stories include older people or single people who are alone in their homes when they hear three loud knocks on the door. And then they go to check the peephole or the window and they see two or three little kids. So obviously you're not going to be afraid if you check the peephole and you see like little kids standing there. A common dynamic among the children is there will be an older one and two younger ones who look around kind of sheepishly while the older one commands and asks for what they need. Oftentimes, it's that they want to be let in to wait for their parents, or that they need to be let in to use the telephone since they are lost or their parents hadn't arrived when they said they were going to, which you would think, like, okay, that's a plausible thing. That seems like a reason someone would need to come inside, especially if it's cold or raining or if they're lost or whatever. But the problem is this happens in mostly rural areas. So before anything else, like, the first red flag for people is usually, why are these three young kids out here in the middle of nowhere alone anyway? What would their parents be picking them up from, or what would they be getting lost from?
Yeah, like, how did they even get here?
Yeah, it's not like, oh, well, I live down the street from a school. They took the wrong exit or whatever. It's like, I'm 5 miles down this dirt road from my nearest neighbor. What would you even be coming from to get lost, or where would they even be picking you up?
And it's, what, 1998, you said?
This happened in the 90s. Some of the reports of people seeing them have gone as far back. And like I said, we can't substantiate these because they came forward after they read Brian's story. But some people said that they've been seeing these kids since, like, the 1940s, 50s.
Yeah. So it's like, if a kid was like, oh, can I come in and wait for my parents? How would your parents know where you are?
Exactly.
You don't have a cell phone?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, my parents are picking me up, and people would kind of be like, from what?
Yeah.
Like that's the first red flag usually, because it's like the fact that the kids are even there is so out of place. And I'm sure, you know, because you're from a small town, like, yeah, it was, like, less rural, but it was still small. You know all your neighbors, you know everybody.
Yeah.
Like, even if you don't know them personally, like, you know who has kids and, like, where kids live and stuff. Like, so if there are three random kids, you'd be like, okay, well, the Petersons are the people who are closest to us who even have kids, and they're 3 miles away. Like, how the fuck are you even here?
Yeah.
Many people who have these experiences claim to feel entranced and terrified all at the same time, especially once they look into the black eyes. So that obviously fills them with this insane fear, but they also feel compelled to invite the children inside despite this pit in their stomachs.
So do people invite them in?
From what I could find online, the only story I could find that seemed credible of someone inviting them in, most of them are of people realizing the black eyes and then being like, hell no, and then the kids getting angry, which results in either the children sometimes terrorizing their house, like walking around to different windows and knocking, being like, let me in, let me in, my parents will be here soon, let me in, and then getting, like, increasingly mad. Also having horrible nightmares afterwards, you know, just like weird things happening. That seems to be common if you don't let them in. So the only story I could find where it seemed like someone actually let them in was an anonymous but allegedly confirmed story of an elderly couple in Vermont who, some of the reports I read said that actually Brian himself interviewed and confirmed this story with these people after his story came out. And like I said, he's a journalist. But the story goes, allegedly, that there was an elderly couple in Vermont who on a very snowy and dark night heard three loud knocks at their door. When the wife opens the door, there are two kids, one boy and one girl, who say, our parents will be here soon. Can we come in? It's snowing. And while this woman's a little skeptical about this, the kids look young, you know, like maybe 8, 10 years old, and it is snowing. It's really cold outside. So she, you know, they're kind of like looking down. They're not making eye contact with her. She's thinking like they're embarrassed or something's going on. So she invites them inside and she's like, yes, of course, come in. You know, come over here to the living room, take a seat on the couch. I'll go make you some hot chocolate and we can all warm up because it's very cold out tonight.
Aww.
And she notices that the cat is like going crazy, hissing at these kids and like doing that like thing that cats do.
Yeah.
You know the thing.
Oh, I know it.
And she's like, that's really strange, but she's like over making the hot cocoa. And then when she comes into the living room, the cat is going, she sees the cat like literally staring at these kids going crazy. And she wants to ask, like, is everything okay? Like, oh, like, what's wrong with the cat? But before she can even put down the hot cocoa, the kids are like, hey, can we go to the bathroom actually? Where's your bathroom? And so she's like putting it down. She looks up at them. And it's the first time they make eye contact and she sees the black eyes. And she's like, the bathroom is down at the end of this hall over here. And they're like, thank you. And like, get up and walk, both of them.
And she's like in a trance.
And so she just like looks over at her husband and is like, what the fuck? Did you see these kids' eyes? And she looks over at him and he's cupping his face because his nose is bleeding like crazy.
Oh, shit.
And then the lights go out.
No.
Yeah. So it's pitch black. She did say she kind of felt like she was in a trance at this point because this is not how she would normally react. Like, looking back, this is not how she would normally react if this sequence of things happened. So when the lights go out, she kind of walks over to the hallway and she sees the kids coming out of the bathroom and she's trying to be like, are you guys okay? Like, what's going on? And they just go, our parents are here. And they walk out the front door, and there's a weird black car in front of the house. Two men in suits, get out of the car, let the kids in to the car, and the woman just, like, stands on her porch and waves at them. And then they get in the car and they leave, and then the lights turn back on, but the cat is missing.
No, not the cat.
So the cat is missing, and over the next couple weeks, there are cats missing from the entire neighborhood, and they end up finding three separate cats mutilated and dead in different areas.
No.
And then to make it even worse, like 2 weeks later, because the husband just keeps having these crazy nosebleeds, they go to the doctor and he gets diagnosed with aggressive stage 4 cancer.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
That's literally, I kept on thinking like, well, what happens if you let the black-eyed kids inside?
Well, most people claim that the reason we don't have a lot of stories like this is because when you let them inside,
you die.
You don't make it.
Oh my gosh. And the cats too?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
There was other stories I read of people who like pulled over on the side of the road driving somewhere, like on a road trip to pee, and then the kids show up and are like, hey, can you give me a ride? Like they're hitchhiking. But it's like, why is there a kid out in the middle of this like abandoned highway in the middle of the country? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in the 2000s and 2010s, black-eyed kid sightings were so common in the UK, it made the front page of, like, their local tabloids.
What?
Over 5 times in a span of a few years.
Can you imagine picking up a newspaper and seeing, don't let the black-eyed kids in your house or whatever?
Well, these are, like, tabloids, obviously. So it would be, like, that happening in, like, you know, one of those magazines you see at the checkout. It's not like it's, like, Time magazine or something.
I would still
But, yeah, be it's still like... scary.
What the fuck? So, all my tabloids talk about is, like, who Ben Affleck is having an affair with. You know what I mean? I'd rather see that. I don't want to see black-eyed kids.
Is Bennifer already over? Exclusive tonight on E! News.
Exactly.
I used to fucking love E! News, dude.
That's the kind of shit I like. That's what I want in my tabloids. I don't want no fucking paranormal, ghost, demon children anywhere.
I think that that's fair.
Yeah.
I don't feel the same way, but... So, you can go online and read any number of stories, encounters with black-eyed kids. There's also people on Reddit threads and stuff like that who will be like, oh my god, I saw one of these 15 years ago. I didn't know it had a name. Because while BEKs are well-known in, like, paranormal communities and stuff like that, it's not a well-known term, like, in... the normal world.
Yeah.
Like people, it's not like the Loch Ness Monster where everyone's going to know what it is. So some people claim that this is just an internet hoax. It's similar to like Slender Man because you can see exactly where its origins come from, mm-hmm. that it's just an urban legend. It's just like it's dumb thing that people want to be involved in, so they make up stories. But people who believe in this have a lot of theories of what BEKs could be. So, obviously, a really popular one is that it's some sort of, like, alien Men in Black situation.
When you said two men in suits got out of the car, I immediately thought that.
Yeah, and the aliens realize that pretending to be kids makes people put their guard down.
Yes.
Because, obviously, nobody wants to say no to helping somebody. That's why people like Ted Bundy would get away with it by being, like, pretending to have their arm in a sling and stuff like that. Or asking, like, hey, can you help me load this up?
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason that helps. There's a reason your parents tell you, hey, and if an adult asks you to come over to the car to give them directions or to look for their lost puppy.
Their dog, always.
Yeah, look for their lost puppy, say no. It's because we want to help people. naturally. I would say most people do. Or even if you don't want to, you feel obligated to socially.
Absolutely. Especially children.
Yeah. And so, they like the idea of them being these kids is so genius no matter what they are, because socially saying no to a child in need. Like, you know, when you watch like a scary movie and like people that, you know, someone's banging on a door like, let me in, my killer's right there. I just got away from my captor, like whatever. And people won't open the door. And you're like, whoa, what the fuck? Open the door. Why are you not opening the door? And then you think about like, yeah, because that's the best con in the world to get in your house or to get you to open the door. And then somebody else pops up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they could be aliens. They could be demons. They could be ghosts. They could be their own thing altogether. They could be vampire children. There have been some reports of black-eyed kids showing up, particularly in towns that have dark histories where children have died. So there's some sort of like paranormal entity using the skin of these dead kids. Oh. They're not like, not literally, I just mean like using the idea of the haunting, you know, whatever, to enter people's homes and do whatever. So I got to ask, what do you think black-eyed kids are?
What was the cancer that man ended up having after having the nosebleeds?
Stage 4, like, aggressive skin cancer, actually, that had metastasized to his brain.
Because I'm thinking it must be some sort of an alien situation based on the two men in black, right? So that's what I'm thinking. And they get, these people feel like they're in a trance, right?
Mm-hmm.
The lights go out. Maybe there's missing time that they don't realize. Maybe they're booped up.
Yeah.
Come back down, and then they get cancer from, like, radiation or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Then why do you think that they mostly, people who let them in, allegedly, don't ever come back?
Maybe they don't boop them back down.
I guess that's true. My brain immediately goes urban legend. This was just a weird coincidence this guy had, and now people are connecting it after the fact, or like a weird incident. This guy really, I really do believe this Brian guy. I watched a lot of interviews with him, and he was, like I said, a reputable journalist. There'd be no reason for him to do this. It would actually destroy his career, not make it better.
Could just be ghosts.
I think like some sort of entity.
Yeah.
Like a vampire.
Okay.
Because of the, like, they can't come in unless you allow them to. Asking them to thing.
And they can kind of shapeshift, like a lot of vampire lore.
Yeah.
There's like shapeshifting involved.
Yeah, and there's some stories where people say like, that claim like, oh, like once I said like, no, you can't come in, like the kids' faces would get different looking. Like they couldn't put their fingers on it. They didn't look like kids anymore type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, there's lots of stories. So it's hard to like piece together what could possibly be true and what couldn't. But obviously everything on Reddit No Sleep is not true, just so everybody knows. But there's tons of other, well, because Reddit No Sleep is specifically for writing
like creepypasta type stories.
Creepypasta type stories. And then the rule of the thread, the subreddit, is that you have to pretend like it's true no matter what. Even if you're just replying in the comments, you have to be like, oh man, that's crazy. Like, hope you got away from that safe. Like, you can't be like, oh, this is such a good story. What made you come up with this concept? Because, like, the idea is that you're...
It's like a character.
Exactly. Like, everybody's in on it. And if you don't play into it like that, they'll literally kick you off of the thread.
Okay.
So, I know it's easy if you're not a Reddit person, because I'm not a Reddit person. I just am one of those... I'm a lurker, so I don't even have an account. I just, like, get on and read it.
Same.
Yeah, so when I was a kid, I discovered Reddit No Sleep when I was like in high school, and I was like, holy shit, these are crazy stories. And like when I read it, I was like, oh, that literally, there's no way that could have happened. And then I kind of actually figured it out that it's not real, but people just play into it because it's more fun that way.
Yeah,
because it is more fun that way. But there's real threads on like Reddit paranormal, Reddit ghosts, Reddit whatever, about black eyed kids. Not as many as you would think, though.
I mean, listen, we believe in demons, we believe in hauntings, right? So, I feel like having this happen seems pretty legit. Like, I feel like it definitely could happen.
Yeah, and I mean, there's tales of creepy kids as far back as you can read, you know what I mean?
Kids are creepy.
Kids are creepy. So, who knows? Maybe we just never had, like, a signature name for it before.
Yeah.
I was actually, and the PBS thing was pretty interesting. It's on YouTube. If you guys want to watch it, you can just type in Black Eyed Kids PBS. which was so weird. I was like, why PBS? Okay. But that was pretty interesting because they actually went into like the social implications of like why children were getting scarier. And like a lot of it was because kids for a long time like didn't have their own autonomy. And then as kids became more independent and like socially relevant, that the idea of them became like in actually in our forefront. That's why like kids started showing up in scary movies like The Omen and stuff like that, where it's like, oh, because people are actually like including kids in things instead of being like sent away to a nanny until they're 16. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Kids are always freaky, dude.
Yeah. So it's like kids are around and we're caring about what's going on in their lives and stuff like that. So the idea of one turning against us is very scary, or something using the innocence of a child is very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So moral of the story, do not invite these children into do not invite any children in your home.
Don't help anybody ever.
Ever.
Never leave your house. Be like me.
If somebody is...
Put your phone on do not disturb. Crawl into bed.
Yes.
And stay there.
And if someone knocks on your door, don't answer.
What are you doing?
Don't even get up out of the bed.
You know what? I feel like the black-eyed kids must just make a killing during Halloween.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're walking into homes left and fucking right, brother.
Yeah. They're like, trick or treat, can I use your bathroom?
Can I use your bathroom? Can I use your phone? Oh, this is just my Halloween costume.
Literally so easy.
And the problem is if they actually do start to dress, you know, they dress from the wrong era, which once again is a vampire thing.
Ah, you're right.
Yeah. Thanks to trends in clothing, every once in a while, they're going to be right on trend. They're going to look totally normal. Like, the 90s are back, baby.
I was going to say, if a little kid in Mick Jagger pants come up to your house with black eyes, you're just like, oh, you're just hip.
You're just so hip. You're hipper than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're hip-hop.
Hip-hop, hooray. But yeah, that is a little brief history and two of the more famous popular stories of black-eyed kids. Like I said, it's kind of one of those things you can go down a rabbit hole and read fun stories about if you find the right ones. The shitty thing is when you Google this, it's like the same article on like 15 different websites that come up as the first two pages on Google. So you have to like get really specific about what you Google. So like I had to Google like, you know, the guy's name and black-eyed kids and article and first incident and like the year and all this stuff, and then better stuff started coming up. But yeah,
black-eyed kids are fucking creepy.
Yeah, dude, I used to be in a band back in the day with my brother, and we had a song that we wrote that was all about black-eyed kids.
I did ask you to perform it.
I can't remember what the words were, but it was, like, very Nirvana-esque, like, power chords, like, da-na-na-na-na-na.
Did you ever record it?
Probably not.
Damn. Well, maybe if everyone bullies
you. This is back in, like, 2012, dude. Like, I didn't have a recording studio.
That's fair.
I was 18.
We'll get together with your brother and...
Cameron, he listens.
Rewrite it.
Cameron, we got to record our Black Eyed Kids song.
Do it this weekend.
Because we were obsessed with Black Eyed Kids. Like, we were obsessed with them back then.
I know. That's why I wanted you to cover this.
Yeah. So thank you for requesting that. It's actually probably one I wouldn't have done. I thought for sure it was going to be more of a creepypasta origin. And then when I actually found the real origins, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
It's just, this is the first time, like, a journalist put it into words was in the 1990s. But then people started coming forward saying, hey, I've been experiencing this since, or I had an experience like this in 1947 or whatever. And it's like, why would these old people, like, at this point, 50 years later, what do they have to gain to writing in and being like, oh, my God, I had a black-eyed kid knock on my door in Kansas in 1947. Like, what would they have to gain, I guess?
Right.
And also, like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I was just like, my brain doesn't go, who's going to scam like a paranormal thing? Some old lady?
No.
You know what I mean? It just is weird to me.
Yeah, not Miss Genevieve.
Not Genevieve.
No.
No, 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 no.
She wouldn't do it.
Not Rose.
Definitely not Rose. Miss Rose.
Miss Rose, not Dot.
They all have a miss in front of them for some reason.
Yeah, when they're all married for sure. They've all been married for 70 years.
Well, maybe they're widowed.
That's true. I don't think you become a miss when you get widowed.
No.
No, that doesn't seem right. How those seltzers treating you?
They're good. They make me feel good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. That's what you deserve.
Thank you.
Yeah. I like your hair. It's growing on me.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I didn't not like it. I didn't know it was so blonde, and so I was not... Change makes me uncomfortable. So I wasn't prepared for it.
I just thought to myself, I'm 31. Why not try something new?
I love it. I dye my hair all the time.
Yeah. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I can go back to brown.
Oh, yeah.
But I felt like I wanted to try it for a little bit.
No, you just have to warn me when you do these things.
I mean, I thought I did.
You told me like 6 months ago that you were going to dye your hair blonde and you dyed it a little blonde and I liked it and I was ready for it.
And then I said I was going to go blonder.
Yeah, I know, but you didn't warn me again.
Sorry.
I need these updates. I was so confused and afraid.
I'm so sorry.
Once again, I'm so mentally disturbed.
Once I fix my eyebrows, though, like once I get a different pencil, I think it'll help.
Well, they did a good job. It looks very natural. It looks like you're a natural blonde.
Well, I asked for ashy. She did a little less than, like, I didn't want it to be too gold.
Yeah, I don't like gold either.
Yeah.
That was always my issue. There's a bunch of memes. Now you'll understand them. There's all these memes on Instagram, online, wherever, of just being like my blonde clients, and it'll be like the children of the corn with the white hair and being like, I still see orange or I still see yellow.
Yeah, I didn't want that.
Yeah, but no, like people, because my hair would be white, golden, or my hair would be white, purple, and I'd be like, it's still so brassy.
Oh,
I don't know why. I get like
obsessed
with it.
Okay, there are parts of it that I think, like there's a couple strands that are a little orangey.
Yeah, that's just welcome to the blonde life. You're going to think that. It's not going to look orange at all, but you're going to think
it
is.
But I think overall it looks fine.
No, it looks good.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm getting used to it. It just freaked me out when I first got in the car. I was like, whoa.
I know. Your face was like, you're blonde. And I was like, yes.
I wasn't expecting it. Nobody warned me.
And then you know how like normally people will be like, it looks good. You just went, oh, do you like it?
Well, here's
and
the
then
thing.
I kind of wanted to jump off of a cliff, but I had to remain calm.
Here's the thing. Would you rather me lie and say something I didn't mean and say, oh, I love it, when I wasn't sure yet?
No, I actually really appreciate it.
Because now this comment means a lot more, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I didn't jump off of a cliff.
You didn't. Luckily, there was no cliffs around.
So true.
All right,
you ready?
Yeah, that was a fun little aside we just did.
It was. Your burp just awakened Sydney.
I know. Sorry. I'm sorry, Sydney. These Konas always make me burp so
much. I know.
Much.
You're so burpy.
Specifically, Kona always makes me burp.
So, if you are a true crime person, then this is going to be a story that people have definitely heard of.
Okay.
A lot of people that have heard of the story, however, don't really know some of the details.
Know what I realized? We always build up the stories like this when literally the stories are in the description of the episode.
You're so right. I'm building it up for you.
Okay.
I think that's what it is.
I get it because I do it too.
Because you've definitely heard of this
And I was thinking
person.
About it last week when I... Yeah, how are you like this person? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was thinking about it last week when I was typing the description of the episode and I was like, oh, they know what...
They already know what we're going to talk about.
They already know. We're like so secret.
You're so right. You're so right.
Know. It just made me laugh and it made me think of it because... I did it this week.
This is for us, not for you guys, okay?
Yeah, not everything's for about you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's about us.
That's right. So you're for sure going to know this person. Just keep that in mind.
Drop it on me.
All right. So I'm going to talk about the Tacoma Axe Killer.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tacoma. I'm supposed to go to Tacoma soon.
Oh. So my sources were an article on historylink.org by Daryl McClary. An article on southsoundtalk.com by Stephen Dunkelberger. An article in the Toronto Sun by B. Hunter. SerialKillerCalendar.com, Wikipedia. And an episode of Ghost Adventures, Serial Killer Spirits, which is what I watched last night that probably gave me nightmares.
I was actually wondering why you were watching Ghost. Like, I mean, it's a great show, but this doesn't seem like something you would pick to watch before bed.
Yeah, I regretted it after I woke up from that dream.
Clearly, yeah.
So let's begin by talking a little about the man himself. The Tacoma Axe Killer is named Jake Bird, and he was born on December 14th, 1901. And in the way he puts it, somewhere in Louisiana where there ain't no post office.
So not a real town, unincorporated territory, as we know.
As we know.
Because once you get a post office, you're a town, baby.
And based on kind of like what I read about this guy, which is there's really not that much information. He seems like kind of a liar and he doesn't really like to tell people things.
A serial killer? A liar?
I know. What are the odds?
Say it ain't so.
But it is believed that he was obviously born in some small town in Louisiana.
Yeah. Not exactly great record keeping back then.
Right. So he left Louisiana when he was about 19 years old after having a pretty bad childhood. And like I said, not much is known about his upbringing because he never really told anyone about it. He didn't even want to tell people where he came from. So there are some differing reports on what he did after he left home. Some articles say that he was a section gang railroad worker or a Gandhi dancer, which is someone who laid and maintained railroad tracks. Other articles say that he was a drifter that basically lived his life by sneaking onto train cars, and then when they would stop into the different towns, he would jump off and then trade a day's work for somewhere to sleep and a nice meal.
A hobo.
But either way, his lifestyle basically caused him to somehow end up going to different towns every day by train. But this lifestyle would soon end the day before Halloween, on October 30th, 1947, when 45-year-old Jake Bird ended up in Tacoma, Washington. So on this night, he is just walking along the streets of Tacoma when he ends up going into the home of 53-year-old Bertha Clute with the intention of robbing her.
Okay.
So he snuck in through the back door, holding an axe, and he went into Bertha's bedroom, and he's, like, rummaging around trying to, like, look for money, and he ends up taking $1.50 from her purse, and then he claims that he was about to leave the home because he was, like, just coming in there for money, and that was it. But when he walked through the kitchen to get out of the house, Bertha was standing there.
Ugh.
So Bertha screams, and she, you know, tries to fight Jake off of her, basically. And he's holding an axe, obviously. So he bludgeoned her to death with it.
Mm.
And Bertha lived with her 17-year-old daughter, Beverly, who overheard this altercation happening in the kitchen. So she gets up and she runs in there when she sees her mom being attacked. So she grabs Jake by the neck, like jumps on him to try to like stop him. And then unfortunately, he turns around and also bludgeons her to death with this axe. I mean, you can't really beat an axe.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
So the neighbors had heard Bertha screaming during this situation and they called the police. So at 2:30 a.m., two Tacoma police officers, Andrew P. Sabutis and Evan Davies, arrived at the Clute's home. They immediately cased the outside of the home before they went in, and that's when they saw a black barefoot man running out the back door through the backyard. So they immediately just start chasing him.
Yeah.
And some reports I read said that he was completely butt naked, but others just said he was barefoot.
Okay.
So they were able to finally corner him in a yard that was, the fence was too high so he couldn't jump over it. So he was just kind of fucked. And when they corner him, Jake Bird pulls out a knife and starts attacking the officers. So he ends up cutting one of their hands and stabbing the other in the shoulder. But then one of them was able to give Jake Bird a good left hook to the jaw and then kicked him in the nuts and he went down.
Okay. And he was naked then.
And he was naked. But kicking anyone in the nuts is going to hurt.
Yeah.
So Jake Bird was taken to Tacoma City Jail while the two officers were taken to the hospital to treat their wounds. So at first, he was able to kind of like sweet talk the officers and he almost convinced them that he was innocent. But after his bloody fingerprints were all over the house and on the axe, as well as the fact that Bertha and Beverly's blood and brain matter were all over his clothes and inside his pants. So I guess he had clothes on.
Yeah.
They were
or
like,
maybe that's why he took them off.
Oh, yeah, true. They were like, no, we're 100% positive you committed this crime. And then he ended up confessing to it.
Okay.
So he signed a confession in front of four police officers. But he said that he was just going there to commit a quote-unquote easy burglary. So he was like, what I did was I found an axe in a nearby shed and I picked it up and I was only bringing it there to just scare people off. I wasn't going to use it on anybody.
Yeah.
And the only reason I even attacked Bertha, Beverly, and the two officers was in self-defense because they attacked me first.
Okay.
And once again, he actually almost convinced these police officers that he did do this in self-defense. And they were like, I mean, you sound like you're being honest.
Yeah.
But then they decided to look into Jake Bird's history. And that's when they found out that he wasn't just some homeless guy going from town to town looking for work. They soon found out that he had actually spent about 15 years in prison for a various amount of crimes that included burglary, assault, and murder. So the next day, on October 31st, 1947, Jake Bird was charged with the first-degree murder of Bertha Clute, but not for Beverly, and I'm sure this is something you would understand more than me, because they had to file them separately in order to make sure they got a conviction.
Yeah, so let's say they did them both together, mm-hmm. and it was found not guilty. He couldn't be retried, right?
Yes.
But so they'll separate the counts of murder sometimes, or only charge it for part of the crime, because then if he gets not guilty, they can charge for the daughter's murder and get a new trial basically on the same charge.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like a loophole for double jeopardy.
But these police officers were 100% convinced that he was the man that committed these crimes, so they were like, we have to get him convicted.
Yeah, it's basically a tricky way to get out of any double jeopardy situation if you're afraid you don't have enough evidence, especially.
So Bird ended up pleading not guilty, and his trial was set for November 24th, 1947. 10 days before the trial, defense attorney Selden stood up in front of a court and basically asked if the trial could be moved to a different county, because he didn't believe that Bird could get a fair trial because everyone in this area knew the details of his case. And there were obviously other things going in this. This is a black man in the 1940s. Mm-hmm. He probably couldn't get a fair trial anyway.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
Even today, it would be very hard.
Yes. And he also asked to be removed as his attorney because Jake Bird wanted to represent himself. And both of these requests were denied by Judge Hodge. Mm. So during the trial, an officer actually came forward and testified that he beat up Jake Bird after he had seen what he did to Bertha and Beverly. And this is not one of the officers that cornered him. This is a different one after he was already taken in.
Okay.
So he basically went on the stand and he was like, I did something really bad. Like, mm-hmm. I saw this crime scene. I saw what this man had done to this woman and her daughter. And I acted out and I beat the shit out of this guy. And I should not have done that. And I don't know if my actions caused a false confession, basically.
Okay.
Yes. But, and this was also because the whole time he was, like, beating the shit out of him, Bird kept saying, I'm innocent, I'm innocent, I didn't do this, I didn't do this.
Yeah.
So, like I said, like, he
was... False confessions are actually way more common than people think.
I know.
Like, very common.
I know. And that's because so many times we see... people sitting in those rooms for hours and hours and hours, mm-hmm. like going crazy, that they end up confessing. The unfortunate thing, though, is that this guy was so good, I feel like, at talking and sweet talking people and convincing people that he didn't do these things, that's why this guy probably came forward, because he's like, now I don't know. But the evidence pointed to he was the only one there. His shoes were still left in the house.
Yeah.
His Bertha and Beverly's blood was literally on his clothes. Their brain matter was on his body. So Judge Hodge ended up ruling that there seemed to be no relationship between this beating and Bird's confession. So he kept that on the record during the trial. So between the confession and the brain matter and the bloody fingerprints, the jury ended up finding him guilty within like 30 minutes or something, mm-hmm. and sentenced him to be hanged. Mm-hmm. So Judge Hodge sentenced Bird to be hanged at the gallows at the Washington State Penitentiary on January 16th, 1948. And at the end of the trial, Jake Bird got up in front of everyone and gave a 20-minute speech. Bird declared, and I quote, "All you guys that had anything to do with this case will be punished. I am putting the Jake Bird hex on you. Mark my words, you will die before I do." End quote.
We hate a death curse.
I thought we loved a death curse.
We do. I mean, we love it because it's like so powerful, but we hate it because it always works.
It always works.
It feels like it always works.
Why does it always work?
There's a lot of power in death, man. I'm telling you. That's why, like, human sacrifice and all that shit, that's why it's a thing.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So he was supposed to be hanged only a month later, but once again, he was like real smooth and he was able to figure out a way to prolong this from happening. Mm-hmm. So he had been taken to the Washington State Penitentiary in Walla Walla while he was waiting his execution. And right after he got there, he immediately started confessing to multiple other murders that he had committed over the past 20 years. Mm-hmm. So Byrd basically was like, hey, if you give me extra time, I'll tell you whatever you want to know.
Yeah, which means that any of those confessions could have been bullshit.
Could have been.
That's like the confession killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, have you watched that documentary on Netflix?
I haven't.
Oh, it's crazy. That guy's a piece of shit. He, like, confessed to a bunch of crimes he didn't commit because he just wanted to keep getting interviewed because he would get, like,
famous
treats and stuff. Yeah. And famous, I think, yeah.
So over the next few months, Byrd confessed to murdering 44 people, mostly white women. But through his confessions, they were only able to identify 11 murders. And he was so specific in the details of these murders that they were actually able to fully close these cases, which is good for those families.
Yeah.
It was determined that he had murdered people in Illinois, Kentucky, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Kansas, South Dakota, Ohio, Florida, Wisconsin, Michigan, Iowa, and Wisconsin.
Jesus.
So all over the place.
Yeah.
And because of the number of people he claimed to have murdered, at the time, he was actually considered the most prolific serial killer in America, literally until the 1970s.
Yeah. Well, they also didn't even have a word for serial killer back when he was doing this. Yeah. So, yeah.
But of course, the thing that actually made Jake Byrd infamous, quote unquote, was that hex that he put on everyone that was involved in putting him to death.
Yeah.
So over the course of a year, right after his trial and right before he was set to be hanged, people that were specifically involved with Jake Byrd's case started dying. Judge Edward Hodge, which is obviously the judge that was part of his trial, mm-hmm. died on January 1st, 1948 at the age of 69 of a heart attack.
Okay. Could be written off, you know what I mean? But
but then...
Yeah.
Pierce County Sheriff Joseph Karpok died on April 15th, 1948 at the age of 46 of a heart attack.
46 is much younger than 69.
Pierce County Court Reporter George Harrigan died once again at the age of 69 on June 11th, 1948 of a heart attack. Sherman Lyons, the detective that basically wrote down every single one of his confessions, died at the age of 46, again, on October 28th, 1948, of a heart attack.
Yeah, and that, like, 40s is very young to die from a heart attack. Like, people have heart attacks all the time, obviously,
also,
but...
Also, four heart attacks?
Yeah.
James Selden, Jake Byrd's defense attorney, died at the age of 76 on November 26, 1948, of a heart attack. And then a sixth man was presented forward, Arthur Seward, who was a guard from the Washington State Penitentiary, and he died of pneumonia 2 months before Jake Byrd's execution.
Okay.
So six people at this point that aren't...
And five of the same thing.
Five heart attacks.
Yeah.
And then one rando pneumonia.
Well, also, like... cardiac arrest is something that they'll, like, put on... forms, especially back in the day when they just like weren't sure what happened.
Yeah,
they'd be like, oh, it had to, like, obviously his heart stopped beating, cardiac arrest.
Well, some, like, some articles were saying heart failure for some of them.
Yeah,
some were saying heart attack, but for the most part everything said five heart attacks, one pneumonia, which is just like, that's not a coincidence.
No, that's very strange.
Yeah. And each time one of these men died, Byrd would misquote a Bible verse basically saying that God had served justice.
Okay, well, I mean...
Very menacing.
I don't know which God you're working with, man.
So on July 15th, 1949, a crowd of 125 people came out to view the hanging of Jake Bird.
Mm-hmm.
He had written a note that was basically all about, like, asking for forgiveness for all the crimes that he committed.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to be read out loud, but before it could be completely finished, the trap door opened and he fell through and was hanged.
They were like, we can't let this guy do another curse.
Yeah. Maybe the end of the note was another curse.
They were like, we got to cut this off real quick.
Yeah, I would believe that.
He might be cursing us.
Probably.
Yeah.
Why not? You're part of the case.
Yeah.
So Jake Bird was officially hanged, and he was buried in a grave marked only with his prison number, 21520.
Damn.
So then, as I was looking into this case, I found that Ghost Adventure special,
mm-hmm.
Where they did this, like, four-part series on serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
So they went and they investigated the Squirrel Cage Jail in Iowa, and that's where Jake Bird was kept after he brutally assaulted Harold and Mary Stribling with an axe in Iowa in 1928.
He had an M.O., axe.
But this couple had survived.
Oh, shit.
So that's how he got put away.
Okay, yeah.
So that's kind of how we know that he's...
Well, and also it's like...
an axe murderer.
You learn, yeah, you learn when you leave someone alive and they put you in prison. You learn, oh, well, if I kill them, they can't put me in prison.
Exactly. But the weirdest part was that in 1959... 10 years after Jake Bird was hanged, Harold Stribling shot and killed his wife and then turned the gun on himself.
Whoa.
So people believe that that might have been
part of the curse or whatever.
Of the Jake Bird hex.
That makes me think of the Dahmer victim who survived, how he spent time in jail for manslaughter.
The victim?
The victim who survived, like, years later. He spent time in jail for manslaughter. He was a houseless person, and there was someone who had been thrown over a bridge, and he was, like, involved or whatever, and it's just like, whoa. Because imagine how much it must fuck with your head also, though,
yeah.
Like, going through a traumatic event like that.
Absolutely. I just thought that was so interesting, because that was, like, they got attacked in 1928.
Yeah, it's so far
and
after.
And then it was 1959 that happened.
Yeah, that's so fucked.
Have you seen that episode?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay, that was the scariest episode.
I stand by it. The scariest one is still the brick one.
The brick one's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the brick one is scary.
But the whole serial killers series that they did was very scary.
During this episode, though, I don't know if you remember, but they literally, so they used, like, a special spirit box that they mm-hmm. had that was, like, 10 times faster than a normal one mm-hmm. to produce sound or whatever. So they literally hear, it's so clear. I've never heard something this clear come out of a spirit box
mm-hmm.
where they're, like, walking around. They say, who's here or whatever? And you hear, come attack me. And then they go down to the basement. It's not even Zach Bagans. It's the other two guys, like Billy and Aaron or whatever. And they're like, who are we speaking with? Who's here? And I swear to God, this is probably why I had nightmares, because so clear as day, it said Jake Bird.
Yeah.
Clear as fucking day.
That is nightmare fuel.
And it scared the shit out of me. Like, and they were so scared. I'm like, these guys are not actors. They're not that good.
No, that's like the one that we showed on our Patreon, that video we showed on our Patreon of them. I was like, there's literally, they're not good enough at acting. Like, this is.
Like, maybe Zach is, but not these two guys.
I don't even think that, because sometimes I'm like, oh, he's being fucking whatever, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Yeah.
They, when it said Jake Bird, the two of them literally started freaking out and screaming.
I would too. Like,
and
I
then
would too.
I started panicking. So that was terrifying. Everyone should go watch that episode.
What's it on?
Discovery Plus.
Ugh, I need to get Discovery Plus.
I just bought it because I was like, why not?
Yeah, I need to get it. I like used to use my friend's login and then she got rid of it and I was like, I just need to get it. Because I like it. I like all the stuff that's on
there. It's got good shit.
Yeah.
Especially Ghost Adventures.
Yeah, especially. Yeah.
But yeah, that is the Tacoma axe killer, Jake Bird, and his infamous hex.
Very good one.
Yeah.
Very Halloween appropriate.
That's what I was thinking.
Halloween appropriate episode, really.
And he got caught the day before Halloween.
He did. Yeah, even mm-hmm. crazier. When you said that, I was like, oh, shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Like, how weird is that?
We don't do serial killers much on
we
this
don't.
Feed, but
we don't.
I just felt like that was an interesting
we
one.
We don't do true crime that much, even.
No.
But we do it on Patreon all the time.
We do.
Because we're afraid.
And we're currently doing a serial killer series.
We quite literally
Patreon.
Are, yeah. So join Patreon.
Yes, if you want more of that.
Yeah. How about we read a listener story?
Yes.
All right, so this is from Claudia.
Ooh, hi, Claudia.
And Claudia says, hi, guys. First of all, I'm sorry for any spelling mistakes. English is not my first language.
Mine either.
That's totally fine. It is our first language, and we still can't spell it.
We're just bad at it.
I'm currently listening to almost all of your episodes, and today I was listening to the one with the pet stories, and I wanted to share with you mine. Hope Amanda isn't going to cry.
Oh, my
fuck. I mean, she's probably going to cry. Everything started on the 29th of December, 2021, when my beloved dog, Nietzsche, a Weimaraner, died after 15 years with me. Also, amazing name. A philosopher name for a dog.
What is it? Nietzsche?
Nietzsche, like Friedrich Nietzsche, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's cute.
Because, you know, we have our physicist cats.
Wow.
And then a philosophy dog. It's
I did
cute.
Have one.
Your new cat's name is Tesla.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot.
He was a sweet boy. I'm sorry for your loss also. I took care of him day and night for the last months of his life, changing his diaper, cleaning him, feeding him while working full time. He was on bed rest for the last month.
Oh my God.
When it was time to say goodbye to him, I thought I was never going to get over it. He was everything to me, and the last month made him so dependent on me and build up our relationship even more. We keep his ashes on top of the fireplace and talk to him every day since. Every person in my family, there's five of us, could still hear his paws on the floor or his very distinct cough every day and night.
Oh my God.
My family was never the same since the 29th of December until April 2022. We were looking for someone to love. A rabbit started to come in our backyard and weirdly just stayed in front of our windows and looked at the ashes of our dog.
A rabbit.
He did that from January to March every day, just looking. One day he went away. The next day, after he left, my mother saw a post from the animal shelter where my mother, sister, and me were volunteering since 2015. We almost never have pure race dogs, but that day we got a Weimaraner who are currently almost $4,000 in our country.
Holy shit.
My mom went to go see her, but sadly she was very sick and had to go to a special family to receive special cares. 2 hours after knowing this and being heartbroken, another Weimaraner was left in the shelter by another family. We were bamboozled. This has never happened in this shelter in its 15 years of existence. We went to see the second one a day later. I never saw him live. I was sitting on a chair in a corner far away from the entrance, and when he came inside the meeting room, a room for a dog to meet the family, he went straight up to me like he knew me. I started crying so much and he licked my tears. He was looking at me like he knew me already. Almost never went to see my mom and dad, who was there at the same time. We brought him home 20 minutes after that. He proceeded to sleep on me and scream every time I left the house.
Aww.
My parents are not very into spirit or spiritual things, but they are sure that Nietzsche helped Boris, the new dog, find his way to meet me because I took care of him in his last breaths. Since April, Boris is still obsessed with me. He loves me so much. He loves my four cats and protects me every night from all the weird noises. We don't hear Nietzsche anymore, but Boris started very early to do specific things that only Nietzsche did. It's very weird, but we are very convinced that our two dogs are connected in some way. Oh, she is crying.
Can confirm. I'm crying. But you know what is so weird about us reading this at this exact moment?
What?
So yesterday, we went with our friend Kate to go look at other dogs.
We did.
Because her dog passed away a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing Kate said to me after we ended up taking a dog home, Poppy,
yeah.
was she was like, once I saw Poppy do that thing on the ground that Cinder used to do.
Oh, the like wiggle thing?
I just had this feeling that Cinder sent her to me.
Yeah. Well, Poppy is a completely different breed, different, totally different dog, but has very similar attributes
and
as Cinder.
Personality.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
We actually haven't had a dog story in a while, so it was interesting that that is the story we got today.
And you literally pick these random. You don't even read them beforehand.
Totally random.
So how weird is that?
Actually, the first one I picked was not a listener story. It was just like a link to a news article someone wanted me to read. So I was like, oh, next one. And this is the one that came up.
Like, how weird. Like, that was literally yesterday we did this.
Yeah, that is really weird.
That's so weird.
Ooh.
I know.
Spooky Halloween.
And I'm crying.
Now Amanda's crying. She was already crying earlier, and now she's crying again.
Thank you, Claudia. I'm so happy you have Boris.
Boris is also an adorable name for a dog.
So cute.
It's so cute.
I love that.
If you guys have a story that you want to send in to us and we can read on the podcast, you can do that at dtkpod.com/contact. You can also find our Patreon on there. You can find ways to review us. If you haven't reviewed us yet, please do it. It definitely helps us out. 5 stars is amazing.
Please.
Amanda lives for the 5-star reviews, people.
I want like give us some like funny words.
You're getting too specific.
Why?
We're just happy if they do it at all.
No, I am. But I would be happier if I got some funny, nice words. I can always be happier, Cassidy.
That's true. Sorry, nothing's ever good enough.
That's right.
Remember that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. thank you guys so much for listening. We totally dig you. But most importantly, make sure you keep that front door locked.
Make sure you keep your mind open.
And keep drinking the Kool-Aid. Yeah, I read
about... You know a lot about this.
I read a lot about it. I went through a train phase, just like every other mentally ill young person.
You go through a lot of interesting phases in your life.
Missed your mouth.
I just spilled all over myself.
What do you say? What do you always say when you spill things on you? That you're full of it.
Yeah.
You're full of seltzer right now.
Full of seltzer.
My lap is full of seltzer.
Full of shit and full of seltzer.
You just don't bring up new haircuts, new
anything,
new tattoos, new anything near a cliff, just in case.